Hi, I'm J. Christian Adams, president of the Public Interest Legal Foundation. This is the Protecting Your Vote podcast. We talk about what Public Interest Legal Foundation does, election integrity, following federal law, upholding the right to vote. But one of the important parts of the right to vote is the secrecy of the ballot. In other words, when you go to vote, you assume nobody else knows how you voted. Well, I'm here to tell you that isn't true. I used to think that there was no chance anybody could look up how you voted. But unfortunately, in Texas and in several other states around the country, there is a lack of ballot secrecy. And with me today is Public Interest Legal Foundation's very own attorney, Joe Nixon. How are you doing, Joe?
Christian, I'm very glad to be here, and I'm happy to talk about this subject. It's very nothing's more important about it. Integrity than privacy in the right to vote. Because if it's not private, there's no guarantee that people are actually voting how their conscience. They may be voting to protect their job or their pocketbook or for some other reason.
So let's start with a history lesson. There's a time in this country where there was no secret ballot, and when you went to go vote, like in Philadelphia, you would line up on one side of a line if you voted for one candidate and the other on the other. And there was public voting.
There are several famous paintings regarding public voting or voting. They're called Election Day. And it shows what a ballot or a precinct area looked like, where people voted. Somebody beat up, somebody drunk, bunch of guys standing around, thugs, intimidators. Publicly, through voice vote, announced how you voted for which candidate. You can imagine the pressure, the bribery, the coercion, everything that went on with regard to that.
Loss of jobs.
Loss of
you didn't vote the right way.
Loss of life.
Right. So along comes something, and I'll let you tell the listeners what it's called because it's such an interesting name. What is the reform? The method of election called, the type of ballot.
Australian ballot.
Why? Is it like Vegemite ballot?
Everywhere people voted. Starting with democracy, starting in Greece, people stood up and announced how they voted. And that was the way everybody voted, including here in the United States. Someone in Australia got the idea of, let's stop this. And so the private ballot became known as the Australian ballot. And it really wasn't adopted here until the late 1900s. And the first place to adopt it was Lexington, Kentucky, in their city elections.
Late 1800s.
Late 18.
Right. Late 19th century.
Well, 19th century is like in 1880 when it was first adopted by the city of Lexington.
Why Lexington, Kentucky?
I don't know. Oddly enough, and then states started developing it, and by 1890, there were 10 states. Oddly, not Kentucky. But there were 10 states that had adopted secret ballot as part of their state laws and amended their constitutions.
Right. That painting you talk about, Election Day, we actually have it hanging here at PILF, don't we?
It's a great painting, and I pull it off the wall, and I show it to people as I explain this problem to them.
Yeah. Injuries. People in bandages.
So for example, the Texas Constitution says that you have a right to be free from coercion and bribery as it relates to voting, but it doesn't say you have a right to a private ballot.
Right. Which, let's fast forward. So the private ballot becomes the norm. I bet a lot of people out there didn't even know that the private ballot was a development out of Australia and a function of essentially the 20th century. So everyone gets used to the private ballot. You get to vote how you really believe. No one's watching over your shoulder.
Right.
And no one's checking on you to see if, you know, you're doing what the union tells you to do or your employer or, you know, you're not voting in public so you get the government job. It's your conscience. And all through the 20th century, this became the norm.
For the last 120, 130 years, that's become the norm. So much so that no one really understands or appreciates the fact that there was not a private ballot.
Okay. So Texas. Fast forward to the end of the 20th century, beginning of the 21st, decides to adopt a method of election that takes away the secret ballot, doesn't it? And I know that sounds far-fetched.
It does, but I don't think it was one of these things where people use the term unintended consequence. The idea is, hey, we've got computers now. Let's let anybody vote at any place where they have elections so that you don't have to vote in your home precinct. And so for the ease of people to go vote, drop your kids off at school, stop by a vote center. You can go see your parents in the nursing home, stop by a vote center. Great idea. But the problem is, in order to audit elections and to track, make sure that you have the right amount of votes from a precinct from which someone lives, because we're all divided into precincts, because we have to be under one man, one vote. So back to you audit elections, it requires the counties who adopt vote centers to collect certain information. Well, the interesting thing is that information can be used then to discern how a person voted. And once you get enough voters' information, then the mathematicians can get involved and create algorithms where you can then learn large numbers of how people voted. So it's a huge problem.
Well, I'm on with Joe Nixon. This is Protecting Your Vote podcast, and we're talking about the secret ballot in Texas. So, Joe, it sounds like these voting centers give rise to the ability to figure out and actually get the actual ballots from people. Somebody had to do something about this.
Well, you would think that would be one of the first things that the legislature would want to deal with. But there was a big fight in the legislature, and guess what? Political operatives love having this information, because then they know how to manage campaigns and get their side elected. And both sides are kind of guilty of not truly wanting to solve the problem, because they think about it. If you had a list of how everyone voted, what value that would be to you, and particularly if you had. So this information is very valuable, and no one actually did the hard work to stop it and protect the secrecy of people's ballots.
People listening will probably start thinking of ways this can be abused. College admissions, government contracts, government jobs period, right? Look up how your nanny voted.
Healthcare, you need a transplant, you're either on the top of the list or on the bottom of the list, depending on who you voted for.
You voted for Trump, no kidney for you.
Right.
And that's not far-fetched in some places.
That's right. So you build bridges or roads, and your ability to get contracts with the government depends on how you voted. I mean, your imagination is only limited by the adverse consequences of this information. But more importantly, you shouldn't know. But Christian, you're going to be stunned when I tell you that I have access to Governor Abbott's ballot.
How about his wife?
Well, I don't know about his wife, but I know that I have access to Secretary of State Jane Nelson's ballot. We have access to religious leaders, to various judges. We have, just in Harris County, 30 to 50,000 people. That's how we can identify how they voted.
Now, this
friends of mine. I have friends of mine. I know how they voted.
This sounds kooky, right? This sounds far-fetched.
It's very simple process. If you choose to vote early and go to a vote center, you are required, the county is required to identify you through your driver's license or some other means, so we know it's you voting, and then they record where and when you voted so that you can't go vote at any other vote center. So we have a record of when you voted. When they create a ballot specifically for your precinct, it is identified as a ballot for your precinct at this particular vote center on this particular day and time.
Okay. So we've identified the problem, we've talked about the history of the secret ballot, and we now know that in Texas, if you vote a certain way, there is no secrecy. What are you going to do about it?
Well, what we've done is we've asked a federal judge to address the issue of, is the right to vote privately protected under the United States Constitution? And if it is, then the federal judge can help us craft an order that not only effective for Harris County, but for the entire state of Texas.
So the Public Interest Legal Foundation, representing private clients, in Texas brought a case to deal with this problem.
Right.
And that case is ongoing.
Yes.
And if that case were to go to discovery, approximately how many ballots do we have access to?
About 50,000.
50,000 people's votes
right now.
By name.
I mean, so look,
and this is one county.
I haven't looked at anybody's ballot because I don't want to. I don't really want to know that information, and we don't want to provide it. We've given the judge a list of people by kind of categories of whose ballots that we can obtain and explain the process to her. But Christian, I was very surprised yesterday. We served the county interrogatories and asked them who with the county has access to voter data, who can put this information together. And they answered the interrogatories yesterday. They gave us a list of over 200 names, 200 county employees who can look up how you voted.
Okay. So it's not just that anybody in the public can look up, it's that government officials can look up how
you voted. It's a very interesting situation. You want elections to be auditable. You need to be able to audit. Otherwise, you just have to trust the county for giving you the right information. Oh, so many people voted for candidate A and so many people voted for candidate B. You actually need to be able to go back and look at ballots to make sure that they counted right. So it has to be audited. So there's a trust factor, right? So it's very important that government just be transparent. We be able to trust the numbers they give us. The problem is that audit function also leads to discoverability. So the public, through Freedom of Information requests, can obtain all of this public data and look up and know how you voted. But the most important thing is that the government begins to know how you voted. They have a system in place that collects the data to begin with. So the government, 206 people in Harris County that they identified, but that they admitted have access to all this information.
So this is just Harris County, which is Houston, Texas.
Right.
And other counties across Texas use a similar system?
Same. I mean, it's the same problem in Dallas County, probably easier to collect because Dallas County uses a little bit different election software, which creates more data for people to collect. So.
What about other states? Some people might be listening saying, well, that's Texas's problem. Is the same system or similar in place in other states?
Yeah, so we've identified 18 other jurisdictions, 18 other states that utilize vote centers, that allow for vote centers. So anywhere you have a vote center where you have to collect time and date information of when a voter voted, you're going to collect enough information that allows you to trace back the voter's vote.
So ballot secrecy, folks, it's something we all took for granted but maybe shouldn't have all these years. And especially with the rise of technology, like so much else involving technology, there's unwanted consequences.
Well, think about what would happen if a jurisdiction, let's say the Harris County or the state of Texas, whatever, decided, okay, well, there's no right to a secret ballot. We're just going to put everybody's vote on a searchable database online.
Well, nobody would be in favor of that.
No one, but yet that's almost where we are.
Yeah. All right, so hopefully we'll see some good success in this case. The case is all in federal court in Houston.
Yes.
You could read more about it at publicinterestlegal.org. Go to the Texas or Harris County part of that if you want to learn more about the details of this particular case.
It's Zimmern versus Hidalgo. Hidalgo's a county judge of Harris County. So.
There you go. There's the name of the case. You've been listening to Protecting Your Vote. I'm J. Christian Adams of the Public Interest Legal Foundation. Join us next time for more about election integrity and how to protect your vote.